be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaVariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
When you turn on the evening news, do you see what you want to see or what you need to see? Welcome to Bread for the Journey, Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. It seems like more often than not, the good news and people that are making it are buried into a two-minute feature piece near the end of the report. What about giving these people and this kind of news a full hour every week? Now, here's your host, Mariana Cacciatore.
Good morning. We've got a very interesting show for you today. Thank you for joining us. In a few minutes, I'm going to be interviewing Pavritra Mehta, who likes to be called Pavi. I first encountered her work when I watched her inspiring documentary called Infinite Vision about the work of Dr. G. Venkataswamy. Dr. V, as he is called, chose an impossible dream, or maybe the dream chose him, and that was to cure the world of blindness. And to date, his organization, the Aravind Eye Care System, has restored sight to over 32 million patients, the majority of them for free. And it's a self-sustaining business, a business whose guiding principle is compassion. Pavi is now giving us Dr. V's story in a new book, beautifully crafted, I might add, called Infinite Vision, How Aravind Became the World's Greatest Business Case for Compassion. You'll get to meet Pavi in a few minutes. But before we begin, I'd like to take a minute to talk about our inspiration for this radio show called Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Deeds. Have you ever asked yourself what makes for a life well lived? Somewhere in my early adult life, I learned about service and how giving to others was really nurturing to me in a profound way, in a way that I received from no other actions I took in the world. In my late 20s, I began working with people in grief, and for the past 14 years, I've been working in the field of generosity. For an organization called Bread for the Journey, which is a primarily volunteer-run nonprofit organization that does grassroots philanthropy in 20 cities across the country. Our overarching vision is to nurture the seed of generosity in every human heart. And our mission is to find people who are passionate about improving their community and to help them make that happen. Bread for the Journey is 24 years old this year, and this radio show is a brand new endeavor that grew out of our desire to introduce you, our listeners, to some of the incredible people we've had a chance to meet along the way, all in service of inspiring us to ask and answer the question, what makes for a life well lived? And after all these years, one of the things I know in my bones is that a life well lived involves caring for our brothers and sisters. And now I believe that the evolutionary step I'm seeing all around me now is the plethora of businesses that are using the power of business to fuel social change, not just nonprofit organizations, businesses run by people who are using their artistic, inventive, resourceful life force to help create a world that works for everyone, a world that sustains our planet, a world we can all be proud of. President Barack Obama has been on the campaign trail talking about values that include caring for our brothers and sisters. I've been listening to some of these speeches, and they've been very inspirational to me. And the man we're going to be talking about today, Dr. V, understood this more than 50 years ago and created a business that was self-sustaining, which had compassion as its foundational guiding principle. He's the founder of the Aravind Eye Care System. And as I said, it has restored sight to 32 million people, many of them with no financial resources to pay for their surgery. They were treated with the best of care, side by side with people of wealth and power. I'd like to introduce you now to the woman who has been documenting Dr. V's life and philosophies, Pavrithra Mehta. Her new book, Infinite Vision, How Aravind Became the World's Greatest Business Case for Compassion, is now in the bookstores, and I highly recommend it. Good morning, Pavi, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Mariana. It's a delight and an honor to be on this show with you. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. So you just returned from India on a book tour. That must have been very exciting.
I did. It was really special to take the story home in a very real sense.
Right, yeah. How many days were you there, and how many places did you visit?
I was there for a little over a month and visited about half a dozen cities and did maybe two dozen different events of varying sizes. So
I bet you're tired as well.
In an exhilarated kind of a way, yes. It's an exhilarated exhaustion.
I understand. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Dr. V's inspiration for creating Aravind? Tell us about the beginnings.
The beginnings. I like to start with once upon a time. Once upon a time, there was a little boy born in a southern Indian village. It's very close to the tip of India. And he was the eldest of five children. And when he was around 5 years old, he was woken up one morning by the sound of a young woman shouting in pain. And later that day, he was told that their neighbor, a young woman, barely in her 20s, had passed away in childbirth that morning. And there were no doctors in the village at the time, and no one, someone could run to in a moment like that. And the tragedy of that loss hit him really hard. In the next few years, he himself would lose two or three cousins in similar incidents. And at that young age, it sort of birthed, this resolve in him to grow up, become a doctor, and prevent the tragedy of such untimely deaths. And he went to medical school, he put himself through an education, and then in his early 30s, he contracted a rare form of rheumatoid arthritis. It's an autoimmune disease that basically crippled his fingers and left him bedridden for 2 years. He was in an intense agony. It was his first very real encounter with personal suffering. And when he came out of that, he never fully recovered, but when he was able to regain enough strength to walk, sit up, go back to school, he was told that his dream of becoming an obstetrician had been shattered. He would never have the stamina in his fingers for that. But on the recommendation of a colleague, he sort of drifted by divine accident into the dream that chose him, as you so beautifully put it, ophthalmology. And he trained those fingers to cut and operate on the eye and restore sight. And this was at a time, there are 12 million blind people in India. And when he began operating, 80% of that blindness was curable. It could be treated by a simple cataract operation. And that was really the beginning for him. When he started to restore people's sight and see what a difference it made, how they could go back and be restored, not just to their jobs, but to their families, their place in the community. That kind of was the beginning for him of saying, this is what I'm here to do. And I'm not going to stop until I've done all that I can to end needless blindness in the world.
I am just always struck when I hear these beginning stories of how, like at 5 years old, the sound of a woman in pain triggers something, and then one's own, you know, personal experience with pain and hardship becomes the seed for something incredible that becomes an incredible gift to humanity. I hear these stories again and again, and I suppose you have as well. True?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. I think empathy is such a powerful beginning point.
Yeah. And, you know, it's always amazing. I mean, we still, no matter how many times we've heard stories like this, we encounter pain ourselves, and our first reaction is to kind of kind of shrink in the face of it, or pull away from it, or move away, or find some way to get away.
Yes. And, absolutely. I remember one interview that Dr. V gave, and he made a very rare admission, but a very poignant one, where he said that pain was a constant companion in his life. And, you know, it's a chronic condition, rheumatoid arthritis. And so he would very often be at his desk working, but also at the same time in a lot of pain. And the fact that he was able to tap into a strength deeper and more powerful than the physical pain that he was enduring, I think gave him a tremendous power over the people that he worked with, because they saw, you know, how much he had personally transformed.
Right, yeah. When you work in the presence of that, sometimes it makes you look at your own things that you complain about.
I mean, Absolutely.
We're not supposed to compare, but we do. It's human and natural. And you know, Bread for the Journey's founder, it isn't an exactly same story, but he deals with migraine headaches, and I'm always just amazed at what was created, you know.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Despite walking through the world in chronic pain.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. So we're going to take this opportunity to take a break, and we'll be right back in a couple of minutes. To our listening audience, we're talking to Pavi Mehta, whose new book, Infinite Vision, How Aurobindo Became the World's Greatest Case for Compassion, is our subject. And we're going to go more deeply into the work that Dr. V did in India, and perhaps talk a bit about the models that are being created for businesses in other fields. Take care and be well, and stay with us.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
9 different energy systems make up the energy body. Energy is all around us and connects us. Energy exerts a major control over our biology and is a big reason why you should be tuning in to Energy Medicine and Optimal Health with your host, Dr. Ann Deatley. We'll explore energy balance techniques, tips, and patterns to keep your flow of energy optimal to maintain maximal health. By adopting these techniques, you will keep your energy body and physical body in harmony. Listen for Energy Medicine and Optimal Health, Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time, on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Do you feel as if your life is just filled with random awkward moments? Believe me, you're not alone. Tune in every Friday for TAG, the Awkward Girl Guide, with your host, Ashley Iola. Ashley has learned to own her awkward, and she guides you how to do the same. It's awkward, but it can be a lot of fun, too. We'll talk about relationships, sports, food, health, family life, and social life. Each show hopes to make you a bit more in control of your awkward. Tune in to TAG, the Awkward Girl Guide, Fridays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Listen to the women's side of the fitness industry on Fitness RX Radio. If you're looking to stay healthy and look great, or are getting ready to compete athletically, this is the show for you. We'll look at competitions from the inside out, bring you fitness tips, nutrition to keep you on top of your game, and so much more. We want to hear from you, too. And we'll take your questions by phone or email. Tune in to Fitness RX Radio, airing every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Look and feel your best.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com. You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome, and I'm glad you stayed with us. If you're newly joining us, we're here with Pavrithra Mehta, who I like to call Pavi, and her new book we'll be talking about. It's called Infinite Vision, How Aravind Became the World's Greatest Business Case for Compassion. And the book is about Dr. G. Venkataswamy, who we will call Dr. V, who many people know and call Dr. V, who created the Aravind eye care system that has restored sight to over 32 million patients, the majority of them for free. And the most amazing thing is that he's balanced this ability to create a self-sustaining business whose guiding principle is compassion. He was a man who I believe, you know, it was way ahead of his time. I think there are businesses now that are beginning to pop up and wondering how it is they can do this. You know, the heart is growing, the world is evolving. We're seeing more and more businesses come forward wanting to do social good within a business model. And here we have this incredible example of just that was started. Maybe you can tell us the year. What was the year, Pavi?
1976.
Yeah, 1976. So, yeah, he's got a lot of years' experience and a lot of people that have worked along the way who can probably attest to that. And here with us is, you know, Pavi, who's a filmmaker. And I first became aware of Pavi because I saw the film that she did on Dr. V's life called Infinite Vision. And now here, many years later, that sort of thing is growing, has grown into a beautiful book that's just at the bookshelves. And can you tell us, Pavi, maybe what the original clinic was like in comparison to Aravind today? Give us kind of a word picture of
sure.
The early. Yeah, great.
So it was started in 1976, and that was the year Dr. V turned 58. And that was the age that was the mandatory retirement age for people in government service at the time. So he had to retire from his job as a government surgeon. And, you know, he wasn't ready to go and play golf. He there was so much unfinished work in the field. And he, along with his brothers and sisters, he was the eldest of five, with his brothers and sisters and their spouses, who he had helped educate and, you know, guided through medical school themselves, they started a small eye clinic out of a rented home. It had 11 beds, and they named it Aravind after one of Dr. V's lifelong spiritual teachers, Sri Aurobindo. And they worked incredible hours. You know, they were in the operating rooms at 5 a.m. working till, you know, often 9, 10 at night. And anyone who couldn't pay, they would treat for free. That was just sort of how they began. And on the weekends, they would pile into a small car or a bus or a van and head for the villages, and they would operate on the people who couldn't come to them. And anytime they were able to save a little bit of money, they would build another room, build another floor. And it was this incredible period of, they don't use the word sacrifice, but looking at it from the outside, that was what it was. They were 110% dedicated to this effort. And it didn't matter, you know, the financial resources that people had. when they came as patients didn't matter. They were convinced that they had to. There were three conditions that Dr. V brought to the rule book of Aurobindo early on. One was, you can't turn anyone away. The second was, you can't compromise on quality. And the third was, we must be self-reliant. So it meant that very early on, he'd created a model that no matter what it did, it had to do it with compassion, with excellence, and with its own resources. And those three guidelines really pushed the organization in a beautiful way to evolve this very, in today's world, a very counterintuitive business model. It's almost like an upside down business model. And that's what's led to one of the most phenomenally productive, efficient, cost-efficient eye care systems in the world.
It's really amazing. You know, I mean, with this sort of marketing strategy, he'd be like the guy who got the award at business school for most likely to fail, but just the opposite occurred.
Absolutely, absolutely. Ripping the price tag off of a surgery and then saying, oh, but we also need to be self-sustainable isn't, you know, it doesn't necessarily compute in the normal paradigm. But it is a new paradigm of how to use compassion as a driving force and an organizing force.
Well, I have been around people who have been plugged into that moment of compassion. We were talking before the show began about the week I had caring for my parents.
And
so the power of having, a week where you really are in the heart of love or in the heart of compassion. It was a full week and I came away so energized at the end of that week. And so I know firsthand what that feels like. But boy, so many people haven't, how do we begin? How do we move through the world today? I suppose it is clearly stating in the world that the place we want to move from is compassion.
Yeah.
And that was Dr. V's gift, wasn't it?
Oh, it was. And, that beautiful to reflect on the week that you spent with your parents, Marianne. And one of the things that struck me when I would talk to kind of the founding team at Aurobindo and, ask them, how did you work this way? Like, what was your inspiration? What were you thinking when you were? And, Dr. V was someone who was charging ahead and sort of dragging people in a beautiful way into his mission with him. And there was so much, he was the patriarch of the family. He'd done so much for his brothers and sisters that there was, they oftentimes would follow him into situations that they weren't completely convinced about themselves. one of his sister-in-law told me, he would always tell us that when you're sitting down in front of a patient, especially someone poor from the villages, he would always say, think of this person as your mother or your grandmother, and serve from that place. And then the quality will automatically come. The dedication, the sincerity will come. And that gift that he had, there were two aspirations in his life. One was to give sight to everyone who needed it, to give sight for all. And the other was to do it from a mindset that saw all as one. And, that was something, it was in these two aspirations. I remember coming across a journal entry of his from the 70s and thinking that really was the gift. It was both a very practical mission and yet a very profound mission as well.
Yes. And, that's really ingenious too. If you're moving from a place or you want others to move from a place of seeing all as one, to suggest that they see the person in front of them as their mother or their grandmother, because it is, it's so much easier when you see the connection, when you're actually blood connected to somebody. And then, that's the logical mind. But then there's also the emotional self that comes into that when you can look at the person across from you as though they're your mother or your grandmother.
Right.
The simple things, that'll be this great conversation. That will be a light lesson I take with me, into so many things I do in the future. Thank you for this gift.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Often people who create, incredible things like this. When you read about their biographies, there's always sort of another side to them, you know, perhaps a difficult side. Some people say they were, you know, driven, that made the people around them's life difficult. Mm-hmm. Did Dr. V have any of those qualities at all?
he did in a and in a way that was also endearing. Retrospect, he believed in a reality that wasn't here yet. You know, he believed in a future that needed to be constructed, and he saw it. It's really interesting. A lot of people who have read the Steve Jobs biography, right, and Infinite Vision say that there's a lot of similarities. There's a lot of differences, but also a lot of similarities in how Dr. V and Jobs were, you know, convinced of a tomorrow that needed to be today, you know, and how furiously and determinedly they pushed people to become the architects of that. And so there was definitely an aspect of that in Dr. V. And I think that because what sort of made it infinitely forgivable in him was the fact that he really did have people's deepest welfare at heart, not just mm-hmm. patients that he worked with, but the doctors and the nurses and the administrators. He really wanted to do the work in such a way that it didn't just achieve some mechanical, you know, goal of sight restoration, but that it actually elevated their consciousness. You know, that was something that he would continually return to, that this work is really about shifting consciousness.
Right.
Both for the people who come to us and ourselves.
Right. Do you feel like he was compassionate toward himself?
I think he was very honest with himself, and he wasn't one who was given to self-praise at all. He was very, very humble. I mean, one of the most humble people I've been fortunate to come across. And he wasn't self-congratulatory. And so I think he was probably, you know, he did push himself. There was that aspect of never resting on his laurels, always looking ahead. I think where the compassion came in was when he was also very clear that he was an instrument.
Right.
You know, and that he had to take care of himself, his mind, his body, his thoughts, his actions, in order to be that perfect instrument. And so that brought a degree of softness, you know.
Mm-hmm. And what were the things that fed him the quiet? Did he meditate? And
He did. He was, you know, I think from a very, very early age, he had started to study not just the scriptures, but the works of Swami Vivekananda. And he was born in the, you know, in the era of India's freedom struggle. So Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi, was a big influence in his life. And then later, he, you know, for the last 40, 50 years of his life, he would always begin his morning with a visit to all the hospitals, have meditation rooms, all the Aravind hospitals that he built. Mm-hmm, and so he would always begin his morning with a visit to the meditation room. And quiet contemplation, and then followed by readings from his teachers.
Well, I want to talk more about him, and I want to talk about how he was able to increase the volume of the work and make such an impact as to, you know, today, mm-hmm. having restored the sight of 32 million people. Mm-hmm. So we're going to move in that direction, but we need to take a break. And to our listening audience, please stay with us, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a homeowner who's trying to save on energy bills and go green at the same time? Tune into Energy Saving in the Home, brought to you by 521 Compressor Saver and Home Energy Consultants, with host Gary Parr and Dennis Seltzer. They have saved homeowners just like you as much as 65% on energy bills through energy efficiency practices. you'll learn about conservation, products and services to reduce energy consumption and save you money. Be sure to listen to Energy Saving in the Home, live every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
We all want to be happy, but consider that conventional thinking is what got us where we are now. The good news is there's so much more to know that can give us a new and higher perspective. Tune in to A New View of Life with host Kathy Kirk as we unlock the conversational gridlock in America by exploring new ideas and new information on every aspect of life which is needed to move us not just forward, but upward. A New View of Life airs live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Step into the doorway to conscious choice, greater health, and well-being. Attain the balance that you've been seeking. Tune in and turn on 1111 Talk Radio. Feed the mind. Embrace positively. Release the tension. Step out of fear. Host Simran Singh will help you broaden your mind and open your heart toward a greater understanding of how to take charge of your life. 1111 Talk Radio is here every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Seventh Wave Network. 1111 Talk Radio, because shift happens.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome back, and we are talking to Pavi Mehta, or the title on the book, the author of the book that you'd look up would be Pavritra Mehta, about her new book, Infinite Vision, How Aravind Became the World's Greatest Business Case for Compassion. So one of the things that I know about Aravind is that they've made this, because of their work over this long period of time, since 1976, they've made some great inroads in terms of pushing back the growing epidemic of blindness. And they've been able to do that because they were able to increase the volume of the work. What's surprising is that they were able to increase the volume without decreasing the quality. But I'd love for you first to just talk about, you know, the actual work. How does it happen? How did it occur that they were able to do more surgeries in less time?
So at the core of Aravind's model is sort of a three-part mantra: high volume, high quality, low cost. And those three things are threads that interweave, and each one of them affects and influences the other. And so it's a very interdependent system. At Aravind, the average surgeon within the organization will perform about 2,000 surgeries a year. The national average is 400 for India, and in the United States, it's closer to 200. And what enables that phenomenal efficiency is really is the systems around it. Dr. V was a systems thinker, and from the very beginning, he had, you know, almost a Henry Ford-esque approach to hospital processes, and this idea of, you know, being able to bring in assembly line efficiencies, which, you know, when we hear that word, the hospitalist factory doesn't necessarily inspire, you know, confidence to the lay person. But when you look at it, what he was doing was creating a very streamlined, efficient model where to give you a sort of a sense of where this inspiration came from for him, it came from a really unlikely place. It came from McDonald's. Mm-hmm. And he looked at McDonald's when he was on visits to the United States, and he saw everywhere, you know, these golden arches. And he looked at it and said, if we can make eye surgery as affordable, accessible, as standardized, as consistent as the hamburgers at McDonald's delivers, we've got blindness nailed. We've got this problem tackled. And the way he did that in the hospital was to break down the stream of patient-related activities, you know, from registration to discharge, all the steps in between, to really break them down into a discrete set of tasks, and then to have very specialized paraprofessionals hired to take care of everything from, you know, refraction testing to testing the pressure in the eye, taking the blood pressure of the patient. And then in the operating room, every surgeon has four nurses who assist them. And in the operating rooms at Aravind, you'll often have, you know, four, five, six beds laid out at a stretch. And as the surgeon is operating on a patient, the nurses are prepping the next patient on the bed next to the surgeon. And as soon as, you know, the surgeon finishes with one operation, the lag time between surgeries is literally the time it takes for them to swivel around. And, you know, and so there's the surgeon doesn't wait for anything. There's not a case sheet, not a patient, not a medication or an instrument. There is so much attention given to the processes and to creating standardized, streamlined systems so that, you know, so that the not only the efficiency goes up, but the quality inevitably goes up because of the specialized people working at each step of the process.
And I imagine that that we don't really worry about the stamina of the doctor involved because they're not spread around. They're just really just doing this one. They're really focused and doing the one thing that they do.
Right, right. And the way, you know, the way that they work there, it's the way the operations happen for the first, you know, half of the day, and then the afternoons they're mostly in the outpatient department. So it's not, it's at this stage they're not doing the, you know, the 1976 5 a.m. to 9
right.
a.m. in the operating
the
to 9
system.
p.m. Yeah, yeah.
So how many hospitals are there now in India?
There are six tertiary care facilities. Three surgical facilities, mainly specializing in cataract, and then about 40 smaller centers scattered all around smaller towns of South India that that can do refraction testing, dispense glasses, and they're linked to the base hospitals, the bigger hospitals, via telemedicine links. So patients in these areas can get consultations with doctors without necessarily having to travel all the way to the center. So all in all, a little over 50 centers in South India. But they work with about over 270 hospitals all over the developing world, as well as certain countries in the West as well.
Do people come from other countries if they need the surgery and perhaps cannot afford it in the country they are living?
No. You know, just because travel costs would be so expensive, we don't have, and right now Aravind works with, has trained hospitals, you know, in over like 70 countries. They've trained professionals in about 70 countries. And so there's usually a referral center that they can point people to closer to their own homes.
So tell me about how this is being replicated. Who is it just eye care clinics? I would love to hear about that. But I'd also love to know if there are other medical conditions in which this kind of model and system can be replicated.
Yeah, largely the replication effort up to this point, the majority of it is within eye care. And like I said, you know, it's a 272 hospitals now all over the world that have gone through a intensive training and consulting process with Aravind to take these high volume, high quality, low cost principles to their own centers, and not just increasing their volume, but also increasing their sustainability. The whole way, the way Aravind remains self-sustainable is through a cross-subsidization model, right? So in the early years, every patient who pays, that would break down to two they could treat for free. And because their volumes on both the paying and the free and subsidized sections were so high, it all worked out. So they didn't have to depend on external support. So those basic principles are transferable beyond eye care. And there are pediatric you know, pediatric hospitals that have come in and said, how can we adopt some of this for what we're doing? There are, you know, surgeons for restorative limb surgery that are looking at it now. There's a heart hospital in Bangalore, a cardiac hospital, very, very well known, that is also kind of applying some of these principles as well. So slowly, you know, it's not one of those things that it's a cookie cutter approach that can just be taken as is, but, some of the fundamentals definitely are beginning to transcend the sphere of eye care and filter into these other spaces in really exciting ways. And then beyond that too.
So, you know, as we're talking about replication here, often what you think about is that the quality goes down, or not maybe the quality of care, but the quality of the whole experience in terms of, you know, how he always, you know, urged everyone to stay rooted in compassion. And is part of the training, do you feel that that has an integrity as it's growing?
It has. And it, you know, the thing is that it's always an edge. I mean, that's the thing with, it's such a dynamic equation. You know, there's so much that you never achieve perfection and then just sit there. You know, it's this moving target. And so with all the change, there's so much upheaval right now in India, so much movement and kind of improvement and, all in all sectors. And there's this mobility in the lower kind of the bottom of the pyramid, as it's called. So people are looking for better and better quality. They're looking for better and better options. And there's a certain, you know, pressure that puts, a healthy pressure that puts on organizations in, you know, all fields to consistently keep an eye on their quality and the experience that they're delivering to their patients and their customers. And that was definitely something that's definitely still very much a part of the Aravind ethos, to constantly be looking for ways to improve and ways to better the patient experience. When you are so high volume, it is always going to be a challenge to, you know, keep the waiting times down, to keep the, you know, the environments kind of beautiful and have that sense of spaciousness and ease and grace when there is so much happening within it.
Right. And that's what evolution is all about. We
absolutely
take, I think, a couple of steps forward, one step back, and we have to go through some painful things, and then there's an insight that occurs that creates a breakthrough, and
absolutely.
It's the human experience, isn't it?
It is.
We need to take another break. And so for our listeners, please stay with us, and we'll be back in just a moment.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com. Michelle Kors 6 Degrees is your connected consciousness. 6 Degrees is what comes around, goes around radio. Committed to delivering a fresh perspective on thought-provoking, investigative information that can change your life. 6 Degrees connects you to the social and emotional scene and is your trusted advisor from finance to romance, mainstream to metaphysical. It's a positive, upbeat look at life, love, and the pursuit of passion. Get connected Saturdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Dialogue is the single most powerful leadership tool we have to make a difference in the world. Leading Conversations with host Cheryl Esposito creates a place for that dialogue. Tune into the Voice America Business Channel every Friday as Cheryl hosts new conversations among leaders from around the world in business, government, art, economics, and social change. We'll explore big ideas and everyday actions and learn how their own leadership has led them to discover a newfound sense of possibility in the world. Leading Conversations with Cheryl Esposito, bringing big thinkers together in conversations that make a difference, right here on the Voice America Business Channel every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
How has your belief system been formed? Has it been based on others telling you what to believe? Do you desire to make changes in your life that you know will bring you deeper fulfillment? Tune in to The Ripple Effect with Catherine Cloward for your weekly dose of inspiration and encouragement.
Whether it be in your business, personal relationships, or family life, this show will help you recognize and trust your intuitive knowing. Catherine and her guests will help inspire you to make fulfilling choices for your life. The Ripple Effect is heard live every Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome, and I'm glad you're here. And we're talking to Pavritra Mehta, who has written the book Infinite Vision: How Aravind Became the World's Greatest Business Case for Compassion. And it's been a very exciting interview. I'm just enjoying it so much. As I was reading the book in the epilogue, interesting title to the chapter, it's called Death's Question. You talk about these three principles that were unwritten kind of directives for the organization. Mm-hmm. The first was the power of innovation with empathy. The second was the power of business principles with service. And the third was the power of outer transformation with interchange, interchange. So, as we come to the close of this interview, I wonder if you could just speak a little bit about this, explain it in a deeper way to our audience.
Sure. I think, you know, for me, the power of the Aravind story is really, it sits at the intersection of so many different things. It's, you know, it's a Harvard business case study. It's a model in social entrepreneurship. It's a global health success story. It's been called one of the greatest stories in medicine. It's about visionary leadership. You know, it's about family enterprise. It's about service. It's about spirituality. And so it has, you look at this story and it's not just one thing. It's not, at one level, it's the story of a village boy who goes on to become this visionary surgeon. It's this amazing personal journey, but it's also a journey that intersects with every one of our lives. You know, it's it transcends its the definitions or the labels that we can put on it, and it speaks to everyone. Because I think at its core, this is a story that's about individual potential and collective possibility, right? And those, we oftentimes tend to look at our values as part of our personal life and our professional life as something, you know, different. And there's there's a play of values in that, but not, it's not the animating force necessarily. And here's a story that really takes the kind of the best of the business world, you know, the business principles and kind of its you know, the strategies and the systems and the brilliant models that's evolved, and says, what if we, you know, what if we use all of this, but we put it to the service of our deepest and highest values? And that's what you have, you know, at Aravind, the place where compassion is what's driving the efficiency, what's driving the scale, what's driving the quality. All of that is, it's compassion driven. And then, you know, this idea of inner and outer transformation being connected, that to me, it's one of the most powerful things that Dr. V brought, the gift, you know, one of the gifts that he gave this organization was this conviction that the evolution of an organization is linked to the evolution of the individuals within it. Mm-hmm. You know, that clarity in thought and action requires a discipline of mind and heart. And when you put yourself in the service of your highest truth, of your highest calling, when you are truly an instrument, then that approach in itself will inform and transform your work in an incredible way. And
I think it's true. And I think that the way, if there's anybody in our listening audience who's wondering really how to live like that, I think the guiding thing is to pay attention to every moment.
Mm.
You know, we tend to bifurcate our lives. As you said, we have our business life and then we have our personal life. And, in some ways, for the importance and value of boundary setting, we need to do that. But I think that the lessons that we're given in this life that help us to grow and evolve and become really good human beings in the world, good citizens of the world, good partners to the people that we partner with, whether they be in our personal life, in our families, or whether they be in our work life, the person sitting at the desk next to us. Mm-hmm. I think the guiding thing, if you're looking at this, is to pay attention to each moment. And when we pay attention, I'm really, in my mind and my experience, and that's really what I was saying earlier when I was talking about compassionate care. I think when we're paying attention, we're just paying attention. We're not adding a lot of judgment onto how it is that we reacted in this situation or led this situation, but really just paying attention. And when we can lovingly and with compassionate care just notice and observe the life that we're leading in every moment.
Absolutely.
Then it really becomes the guide for how to be in the next moment. Not that we're ever perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Far from it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that, the metaphor that comes to mind for me is, that Dr. V was at one level, his organization was addressing, an outer form of blindness, but it was doing it from an awareness that we are constantly surrounded by our own inner blindness, and we want to be kind of clearing the fog away from our own eyes and sort of pushing that veil, away as we work in the outer world.
Just a perfect and beautiful metaphor. So yes, we pay attention to this very moment. We mm-hmm. care for ourselves with as much compassionate care and no judgment, and we move away the things that shield our vision from the truth.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, Pavi, it has been so lovely talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and thank all your listeners as well. This has been an honor. Thank you, Mariana.
The honor has been ours. Thank you. So to our listening audience, Bread for the Journey is a nonprofit organization that could use your support if you find a place in your heart to make a financial contribution, or if you'd like to start a chapter of Bread for the Journey in your town and give of your time. We would love to have you. Please go to our website at breadforthejourney.org. If we all pitch in a little bit, we can change the world. And I close today as I do with every show. May all beings be happy. May all beings be safe. May all beings be free. See you next week.
We hope our program inspired you this week. Please join Mariana Cacciatore for another edition of Bread for the Journey next Saturday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.